fourth movement, The Tales of William Gent.
Okay, I think we got it going now. Can you tell me your names and ages and the name of this place?
Well, this here was Kilda, but they changed to Kilda, according to that sign over there.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Omi Gent.
Mm-hmm.
She's 78 years old. Mm-hmm. And mine is William Gent, and I am 48 years.
And one thing about this project is, on the one hand, each trip opens up new areas. And this whole conversation with William Gent, I'm going back and interview him again, and his friends and the other veterans that he knows. That is a very hard level to crack, in fact, you know, because ultimately the people who are really, really excluded, really, really marginalized, are very hard to talk to, are very hard to reach.
Have you been living around here all your lives, more or less?
Pretty well. We were born at Blackie, in a place called Gent Mountain. And my mom, she grew up there, and went to school there. And I went some there when I used to stay with my grandmother. So then we went to Michigan for a while, and back when we come back, some over here, and went back to Michigan, some in and out. But the last 18 years, I guess it has, we've been here. So I don't travel much anymore.
There ain't no sense in doing that no way when they just butcher anybody.
But the reason I got to William Gent was that Annie Napier drives a school bus to his community. So she met him, and she told me, you got to interview this man. And she also told me, the way he looks at you, the way he, you can be turned off, but he is really a very, very sensitive person. And so talk to him.
Smoking too much. Well, when I get nervous or something, or are nervous, I'm one right or the other.
You have bad nerves.
Yeah. See, when I get nervous, I can't stand about one thing. I had to wonder. I take off and walk. Sort of helps, quiets me down some, and or find me something to do. You know, to keep myself out and thoughts occupied, and I'll quiet back down.
You mean you feel like some excitement mounting up inside?
Yeah, and too, and sometimes you have one of them days that where small things come closing in on you, and they feel like grabbing your hair and pulling it out. And I get out and walk sometimes, so I wind up there and talk to Lou Ann there, and pretty well tell when I've been on nerves or something that I'll start be looking off in the distance, not paying attention when that some of that, you know, something like, hey, wake up in there, you brain falls asleep. Get me tickled. Tickled me.
The other thing about William Gent is, and that has to do with, with the dialogue. I knew that, the actual reason I wanted to talk to him was I wanted to hear about Vietnam. But I also knew from Annie that he wouldn't talk about this when his mother was there, because his mother just could not take those stories. That would make her very ill, very nervous.
I don't want to say that you can't
so,
get it out.
So, halfway through the interview, I asked him,
were you in the service at all?
I said, no.
No, it wasn't.
And I let him go at that.
I didn't make it.
And then we kept talking, and then I the interview was over, and I left, and we said goodbye, and everything was. And then I decided to go back. I was out of film or something, so I got some film, and I decided to go back to take his picture, because in that case, I mean, the visual was very important, and I wanted his picture. So I went back and took the pictures. He walked me to the porch and he said, I didn't tell you the truth before. I was in Vietnam. So I said, well, could we talk about it? And he said, yes. And we went and sat in the car. It was raining.
You did go to Vietnam?
That time, for 18 months, every time I went, and he wounded every time. And there was a small kid, one was about 7, the other one about 9. One of the two girls, one was shot, hit me in the shoulder, and spun me around, and another, second one, throwed a hand grenade, and the fragment hit me in the back, and when I straightened back up, the first girl shot again, hit me right in the breast, tucked me down. And some of the buddies got them. I didn't know it was kids. They raised me to death for ever so long, you know, on account of that.
What unit were you in?
B Company, 3rd Platoon. And it's in Special Forces, or Green Berets.
Green Berets.
I went in 62, 14 years old, about my age.
14?
And I had a friend of mine, he also was in Nam with me. And we were both the same age, we passed for twins. His uncle signed my papers that he was my guardian. And he signed my papers. 17 years old, and I was 17, but I'd lost my birth certificate and stuff, and I hadn't got them back yet, but they was in, which was a flib. And Uncle Sam wasn't too choosy, you know, to question.
And the reason Annie wanted me to talk to him was, for one thing, he would feel good if somebody went and talked to him. And for another reason, he was a Vietnam veteran. And he had stories about that. Interestingly, the first story he told was about a snake.
They sent us out. There were 7 of us. It was sharpshooters. Mm-hmm. They'd sent us out to find bodies and then disrupt their communication, take out many officers if we could, or whatever, men or whatever, you know, was handy. No wonder we had signed a submission, but we had to avoid any of the enemy, avoid a fight with them, till we got to our objective and knock it out. And then we could, on the return, we could, if we faced the enemy, we could fight them or go on. And we, small patrol come by and we all found something to hide behind and out of the way so we wouldn't bump into them. And I thought it was a down tree laying down at the field. And I laid down behind it and I laid my rifle up on the crosset. And it was laying there. It started wiggling a little bit, moving. And I know there was a couple of guys on each side of me, behind me. And I thought it might have been one of them bumping it, trying to get my attention or something. Huh? And I looked around at that, and it wasn't his. He was 8 foot away from me. And I looked the other way, and I turned on around, and the other one was about the same distance. And then when I turned back around, a big old snake I was laying side of, and it turned its head around, it was looking me right in the face. And I couldn't afford to get up because of the enemy. If he had spotted me, we would have had to fight and run our mission. Talking about being scared, that's the worst scare I ever got, you know, that predicament.
So you were more scared of that snake than...
And I was the enemy. I'd rather have faced it 100 Kong by myself, that one snake kid, you know, with a whole platoon.
And then, of course, there's this whole religious thing about snakes. A snake is something that has to do with a confrontation with death. And I think this is why William Gint talks about the snake. The first story he tells, he's going to tell me about Vietnam. But the first thing he says was he's confronted with this huge snake. It's a powerful concentration of the spirit, of nature, of death, of danger, and also of something very, very familiar. So that's what
I'm going to war.
Almost see the lights of home. And, you know, Bible talks about John said he saw a city come down out of heaven. After this life is over, Bible said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth where it dwells right. So that's what it's going to be now, I'll tell you. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth somewhere now.